next few weeks, including tonight, we're going to talk about what happens when it gets time to pay the loan, to collect the loan, and the borrower doesn't want to pay. So tonight's case is, since we learned about shtaros, it's good to have a document. So the time came for the malva, the lender goes to the borrower, to the lova. Reuven goes to Shimon and says, I want my money back. I have a shtar that was signed by you, an IOU, that you owe me $10,000 payable on Vav Kislev. And he says, I can't read Hebrew. I didn't know what I signed this. It's my signature, but I can't read Hebrew. And it's a language I didn't understand, and I never read this. I don't remember borrowing from you. I don't know what this is about. I couldn't have signed this willingly because I don't know what it says. It's Hebrew, Chinese, Yiddish, a language I don't understand. So is that a good kind of... And even if he wants to say, okay, here's the $10,000, he agrees to, yeah, I remember $10,000, but it says over here you have to pay me in certain installments that are due now, or in a certain way, a certain denominations, or a certain type of condition, stipulation. It's written in the document that you signed, and Shimon, the borrower, claims, I signed it, but I didn't understand that I was signing this. I just knew I was borrowing the money from you, the $10,000. I didn't know about all this fine print that you say it says here, because I can't understand the language. Right? That is the shaila of the night. In other words, if you sign something, how binding is it? That's really the crux of the issue. I will start with this. This is a tribute from the Rashba. So some people quote him mistakenly as the Ramban. It's in the section, it's called Sefer called the Chumash Miyuchasos the Ramban. They were attributed to the Ramban, but they really were written by the Rashba. The Beis Yosef says that whole Sefer is by the Rashba, and this particular tshuva, Shita Mekabetzes or B'Sal Ashkenazi says that this was a shiloh that the Ra'ah asked the Rashba, and this tshuva is the Rashba's answer to the Ra'ah. So we'll read it together on the second side of the handout we'll start tonight, and the Rashba says like this: Kol shechesam yada yotzei alav. Any document where your signature is on there, go and menem and eichar. I could collect from you from your personal property, not from items that you sold, but from personal property I can collect from. Bapila kishetim salamet kishaino yodei likros lamis chayiv. Even if you want to say that, to be such a svar to say that if I can't read it, so I'm not chayiv, it's something I can't read. I assume that if I see your signature here, you're not claiming that it was forged, you're not claiming that you paid back. You're saying, I signed it, I didn't pay back, but I didn't know what I was signing. So we assume anytime you sign something, you certainly read it, and then you signed it. And even though it's written in Goyish characters, it was written, that's what the Shaila was, it was written in Chinese characters. Uman Leimelan Shani Yodeh. Who says you don't know how to read Chinese or Hebrew or Yiddish? Even if most people can't read it, can't read Aramean, they can't read Japanese, they can't read Chinese, but who says that you couldn't read it? I see your signature on this document, and it must be that you signed it. And he goes on, another Shiva says, and even if you can't read Japanese, Chinese, but maybe you had someone that can read it, and they said, look, you know, this is the way the documents come, this is what it says, and you signed on it. You can't say, look, I don't know what I was signing. We assume that you read it, like you said, the evidence is here, your signature is on it, you can't claim that you didn't sign it. And the Rashi brings a raya, then another tshuva brings from Rabbeinu Meir. Rabbeinu Meir disagreed, and he said, look, it's written in a foreign language, I could say, look, I don't know what this language is, I don't have to abide by that. But the Rashba there said, and that tshuva also, this is right, in the old days, not many people could read, most people were illiterate, and women especially. And if that's the case, you'll never be able to have a woman or an Am Haaretz, some one of the more person who didn't have that special education that needed to be able to read, they'll never be able to have them do business. The only way they can do business is that someone tells them, look, this is what it says, and then they sign. They don't have a sign their name on it. You have to allow them to do business. And if every time they sign their name, they say, look, everyone knows I can't read it, and I just signed without reading it, that's no taina. We assume that if you sign something, you definitely read it, and if you don't understand it, you had someone read it to you before you signed. That's not a taina. And this is Paskin by the Raman Choshen Mishpat, Simon Samer Ches, Sif Beis. Shtar also was made goyim. If the shtar was made in front of people who were not Jewish, writing in a in a language he didn't understand, and the rover, the borrower, his signature is on it. Even though he doesn't know how to read that language, he's chayiv in everything written in it. He agreed to obligate himself, and that's why he signed, because the Vare Karu Lefanav, they certainly read it in front of him. The Hemin Lekaria, when he trusted that person was reading it, and there's no way he could sign it, I didn't know what I was signing. The assumption is that if you sign something, you definitely read it, and you have to abide by what you sign. That's Halacha Psuka. No one disagrees with that Halacha. Now, the second part of this year is going to be what happens if you really didn't read it. What happens if the malva agrees, the lender agrees that you didn't read it? Look, we all know you didn't read Japanese. I gave you the thing to sign, but you have to abide by it because you signed it. Where I suppose there are witnesses that witnessed the transaction. They saw him give $1,000 and he asked him to sign, and he said, look, I can't understand this language. And he said, look, it just says that you're borrowing $10,000 from me and you have to pay me within a year. And he signed it. Suppose there are witnesses that we know that he couldn't understand it. Right? The first halacha we said, he has no claim to say I didn't understand it. You can't claim that. We assume if you signed something, you read it, and if you didn't understand it, you had someone read it to you. That's the umdana when you sign something. But how about if there are witnesses, or the malva who's baldin, and his agreement is, his admission is like 100 witnesses. Those we know as a fact, this us the best, and those are the fact that lova did not read the shtar. He didn't read it. It was too long, it was a different language, and we know he didn't read it. So then, does he have any way out of saying, I don't want to abide by all the different details in this document, or it wasn't $10,000, it was $5,000, or what? I don't know why it says 10,000 here when I couldn't read what I was signing. I wouldn't have signed it. If it said 10,000, I only borrowed $5,000. So then, how much weight do we put to his signature?
We put it in trial case where we have witnesses that know he didn't read it, but there's a question whether it was $5,000 or $10,000 that was borrowed.
Okay, so let's not even this. Let's say that it's an honest. That's an honest case. It's everyone knows what happened. And Reuben and Shimon both agree what happened. Reuben says I gave him $10,000. Shimon says yeah, he got $10,000. And Reuben says I gave him the shtar that says he has to pay me back in a year, in cash. And Shimon says, look, the way I understood it was going to be 2 years. And this guy said I didn't understand it. And he says, yeah, I know you didn't understand it, but this is what we agree. So there's no argument that he can't read Chinese. They're not arguing about that. They're just saying, look, well, you signed it. You have to stick to what you wrote. You signed this, and you have to stick to it. Is there any such argument? Because the Ramah's only saying that we assume that they read it to you before you signed. If there's an umdana, that if you sign something, there's an assumption that if you sign something, you read it before you signed it, or you had people read it to you if you couldn't understand it. That's the first part of this year. Now we're talking where we know that you didn't read it. You have proof that you did not read it and you signed it anyway. You have proof that it's a language that you don't understand and you signed it anyway. Does that signature have any weight when we know, there's no argument, we know that you signed something that you didn't understand?
Otherwise, if you start going down the slippery slope and saying, well, I signed it, but it doesn't mean anything, then you take the whole, everything about shtar and throw it out the window.
Well, shtar is when a shtar, and this isn't even a shtar here, a normal shtar is when two witnesses are signing that a certain event happened, and the halacha is that if they sign a language they don't understand, it's not a legal shtar, it's not a legal document. That's for sure. If the witnesses don't understand it, it's not a legal document. Here the question is, if I, as one of the litigants, signed something I didn't understand, does that carry any weight in halacha? Right? But who says signing? Where is there a pasuk in the Torah that says if you sign something, you have to do what you said when you signed it? If I say something, if I make a neder, if I make a commitment, I understand what I'm saying, so then I know that's like a neder, it's a commitment. I make myself obligated to do something if I say it. But if I sign something, I don't understand what I'm signing. I don't know what I'm signing. Everyone agrees I don't know what I'm signing. Where does it say
I have a
that that has any validity?
I have a raya for care. We go to chasanas all the time, where the eidim meet a minimal requirement of being shomer shabbos, but they can't translate the ksuva.
Well,
they don't know what
they're supposed to. A good eidim will read everywhere there's a ksuva.
And the chassan doesn't understand the ksuva either.
Well, that's the chassan. The chassan doesn't understand it. So he's not signing it anyway.
And by the way,
he doesn't have to understand.
Always bothers me that it says in the ksuva that he said these things to her.
Well, if he agrees, that doesn't make a difference. As long as he's mowed that accounts. But anyway, that's the question now. The question is there any? As we have to find some source. Is there any source that when I sign something, that should have some sort of obligation upon myself, even though I don't know what I'm signing, right? Because that's what we're saying. We both parties agree that I didn't know what I was signing. Am I bound by what I signed when I didn't know what I was saying?
Cherish Israel, lo yas avla.
But I didn't know what I was saying. I never.
The custom in Medina, the general custom is that people sign documents.
What's the general custom?
They sign documents.
I spoke to a lawyer friend of mine today, and he said that in courts there is such an argument in saying, I forgot what it's called.
Oral contract?
No, there's something that you could say, I didn't understand it. It's a consideration that the word he used, that something the judge will take into account that, look, he didn't understand it. Everyone knows he didn't understand this, and there is such an argument in courts, even. Yes, what would we even care anyway? Then we would say it's Minhag HaMedina, and that becomes like opinion, and become maybe. But I'm saying I don't know if there's any. Let's leave that aside. I'm not sure if that's strong enough right now. Is there anything in halacha that when I sign something that I don't know what I'm committing myself to, it should work? So the Rashba goes further. We'll read the Rashba soon, but he bases his halacha on the following Gemara in Gittin, Samach Dalet Amid Aleph. The case is like this, Itmar. The case was, husband was married to his wife, and they lived in the same town, we'll see from the Gemara, and he was thinking about divorcing her, and for some reason he didn't give the get directly to his wife, instead he gave it to a third party to load onto it. In Hebrew that's called a shalish, like shlishi, he's a third party, shalish. So he gave this document to a shalish. And now there's a dispute between the husband and the shalish, this third party, what the purpose of this hand over was. So Baal Omer Lefi Kazon, the husband says, I was asking him to hold it for me so that if I ever decide, you know, I know he has a safe deposit box, so it will be safe there if I need it, I'll be able to take it from him. But shalish Omer Legerishin, the shalish says, no, you gave it to me, told me that I should accept it to divorce your wife, because this is talking, this person was known to be an agent of the wife. And he said, when you gave it to me, I was accepting it for my client, my wife, your wife. So Minaman, who's believed? His husband believed to say, look, I know you were an agent, but I just gave it to you to hold, so when I give you the okay, and I decided not to use it. But the Shara says, no, you gave it to me to make a divorce, and it's done. So Rehuna Amar Baal Neman. Rehuna says the husband is believed to say that he meant it only to be a deposit, and it shouldn't be used l'maisa yet. Rav Chista Amar, Rav Chista says Shalish Neman, the third party is believed. That's Shalish, that middleman is believed. Rehuna Amar, Rehuna says Baal Neman, the husband is believed, the imi sadele gerish and yavah and yavah, he has a proof. Because if he really wanted to divorce his wife, why not give it to her? Because we're talking that they're both in the same city. Why is he giving it to this third party? He should give it directly to her. So that's why Rav Huna says he's believed. Rav Chista on the Shalish name, and Rav Chista says no. The Shalish is believed, the Ha Hemne, because husband trusted him when he gave him the get. If you give someone something that they have power to take an action with, so then they are believed to say that they took that action. The Gemara asks, Moshe Rav Abba, for those badinkami are eden dami. We have a brisa that says that if someone admits, a litigant admits to owing money, that's worth 100 witnesses. V'sholosh nemen mishneihem, and a sholosh, a middleman, a third party, is trusted even more than the hadar, than the mission of a baal din. Kate said, how's the case? Zelmer kach, zelmer kach. One party says, this is what happened. The other says, this is what happened. Sholosh nemen, the sholosh is always believed. So how can Ravuna say that the sholosh is not believed to say that he accepted it to divorce the wife? So the answer is shiny moment, money's different. Because money, you could always say, it's only money, so you know, I waive my right to the money, but to make a chalos of a get, that you can't do unless we really know that he has done it. The mice is, we pass him over chista, that a sholosh is now, and the guard goes back and forth a little further. We pass him over chista that a sholosh, a middleman, is believed, and Rav Huna himself agreed by monetary issues that sholosh would be believed. He only said here it wasn't because they were both in the same city. There was an outside Swara to say that the Sholosh wasn't believed in this case. But in normal cases, a Sholosh, a third party, is believed. Now, what's this Swara for that? So the way we're trying to understand it is that, like we said before, if I give something to someone who has a power, he's empowered to accept this gift for the wife. And once I give it to him, there's nothing I can do to stop him from claiming that he took it as a mice of a get. So if I give someone that power, so then I'm trusting him and I'm obligated to carry through whatever he says. In other words, when I give it to him, this is what I say, when I give it to him, even though at this point I really don't know, I wasn't planning on giving it to as a get. I meant that there should be a pikadon. I'm not lying. The husband meant that it should just be a deposit. But since I'm giving him that power, that authority to just take it for her, to give it to her, and I have no way to stop him. So I have in mind that if he decides to say that he took it for a get, I will have that in mind also, in the back of my mind. As I'm giving it to him with two threads of thought. One is I'm giving it to him as a deposit, but since he has that power, if he wants to take it and say that it was a real get, so then I am responsible for that. I am committing myself to that. So the Rashba says, he wants to invoke the sin of sholosh to our case of signing something when you don't know what you're signing. Who is the sholosh over here? It's the person who wrote the shtar. The sofer who wrote the shtar is like a sholosh. I am signing something that he has the power to write whatever he wants to. And I am giving him that okay by signing on it. My signature normally means something when I read it, when I understand it, that my signature certainly is a ksav yad. I can't say that, you know, it's lahadam. I can't say it wasn't true. If I signed it, I owe you $1,000, I can't then deny it, because it says I have my signature, said I borrowed $1,000. So if I sign something that I don't know what I'm reading, this halacha of sholosh, the Rashba invokes this halacha of sholosh to say that this sofer is like this third party, and I'm signing this document based on what this sofer said, what this sofer wrote, and when I sign it, I'm now committing myself to whatever he wrote, even though I don't know, happen to know what it is, because it's in a language I don't understand. Because once again, we're talking where everyone agrees, I don't know what I'm signing. I don't understand the language. But since I gave him that power, and I'm signing what he wrote, I have that responsibility to carry out what he said. This is a source of why my signature should mean something, even in a case where I didn't know what I was writing.
But shouldn't it be relevant when the sofer is writing contemporaneously with the activity of the borrower? I mean, suppose the sofer did his writing 10 days ago.
Okay, it's the same thing. I'm relying on what he wrote.
But suppose there's no sofer. It's written by the malva.
Okay, so there we go. We'll get to that at the end. I'm not sure why that should make a difference. Unless it's really the Rashba.
There's only two parties then.
Yeah, I don't know if that's because they're supposed to be a third party. It's that I'm relying on someone else. If I rely on someone else, I then have this commitment to do whatever he did. You don't like it. Let's see the Rashba.
I don't understand how
the
Shalish has to do with this case here.
Well, let's read the Rashba inside.
Is the assumption here that the Baal is the one who commission the
that we'll talk about. No, that they, I mean, we'll talk about later at the end. They don't seem to make a chiluk here. It seems, I mean, the partial case that Rashi was talking about was it was like a court appointed, it was like a third party. It was a third party. Sofer. You know, he was just watching what was going on there. They're talking about it, and then they hire a sofer. Okay, sofer, write down this for me, and then I'll sign it. The Rashba says like this, Afilo kisha hamalva moda, the second Rashba on the handout here, Afilo kisha hamalva moda l'shein yodei likos, even when the malva agrees, he admits that I know the lover could not read the star and did not read the star, inami sheyesh eidim shechosam asher lo karu, or the witnesses that he signed before he read it, mikomokam ischayiv hu atan b'chol masher kosovo, he is obligated to carry out everything that's written in it. Why? So since he didn't bother reading it, the somach al hasofer, and he relied on that sofer, shekola somach al nemon shalachem, anyone that relies on someone else's trust, however, gomer bedaita, he decides, with his chayiv v'chom asher yomar, to become obligated in whatever that party says, that mishem in asma, the person that he believed upon himself. Behind the time of the shalish, that's the reason of the shalish that we just read about. So this is what the Rashba says, and he continues, he says, even if the loan didn't even take place, suppose I didn't borrow the $10,000, but you write down that I did it, and I sign on that, I'm chayiv, because Yochanan says that if I just say, I'm chayiv to give you $100, even though I never received anything from you, I have that obligation. So if I sign something that says I'm obligated to give you $1,000, so I have to do that, even though I never got a penny from you, because I signed it, and I trusted you. This is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch Simen Men Hey. This part of the Rashba is in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber himself. If there is admission, a document of admission that a person owes a certain amount of money, which he signs, even though the shtar is written in characters of non-Jewish characters that he can't read, and it's clear that he doesn't know how to read it. And the witnesses that he signed it before, he read it or anyone read it to him. He's nevertheless obligated in whatever is written in that document. So that's the second halacha that we learn from this Rashba, that even if you sign something, but you don't know what you're signing, there's no argument, you didn't understand what you're signing, but if you sign it, since you put your trust in that sofer, that scribe who wrote it, you're obligated to carry out everything that's written there, even though you have no idea what was there. We're still not finished, because what happens if the lover says, not that, look, I don't know what I'm signing, okay, I don't know what I'm signing, we learned they're responsible for whatever you sign. But suppose the lover says, you lied to me. You said that I'm signing something that says I owe you $5,000. And you took advantage of me, and you're telling me now it says $10,000. I don't want to pay that. We just saw that if I rely on this sholish, the sholish has the choice. He could either hold the get or give it to the wife. He has those two options, so I commit myself to whatever he decides to do. I'm responsible to carry that through. Same thing as the sofer writes things and I don't know what he's writing, so I'm responsible to carry out whatever he says. But suppose I say there was some trickery going on over here. I say that you told me it was $10,000 and this, it becomes $100,000. You said I have 10 years to pay, and now you say I signed something that says a year. I didn't read that. And the witnesses said, no, I didn't read it. Since do I have any time to then? So the Yeshua Yisrael wants to say that you do. Because he wants to say that there's two ways of looking. Well, he wants to say there's only one way. But the truth is, there are two ways. This is the way that Tzion de Mishpat puts the machlokes. There's two ways of looking at what I do when I entrust this shalish with the job of the get. The way the Shulchan Aruch seems to say, the way the Shacham Asma understand it at least, and the way the Rashba himself does say it, he says the word hischayvus. There's an obligation on my part. If I sign something, I'm obligating myself in whatever is written here, just like a shalish. What's the words that we could say? When I give the get to a shalish, I'm now obligating myself to carry through whatever he decides to do. I'm taking the decision out of my pocket, giving him that decision-making ability, and I obligate myself to do whatever he says. It's a mischaivus. The Yeshua Yisrael says let's look at it a different way. It's not that I'm obligating myself to do whatever that Sharish says. What I'm doing is I'm entrusting him. I trust him to make the right decision for me. And I trust that he'll make the right decision, and I will carry through what he decides based on my trust of him. I trust him that he's going to do the right thing. What's the difference between whether I trust him or I obligate myself? So the difference is, according to the Shach and the son who says that I'm obligating myself, even if I want to claim that you lied to me and you said you, the sofer or the malva, you said you were writing $5,000 and now you tell me I signed on $10,000, right now the Shtar says $10,000, and we said that whenever I sign on something I don't understand, I obligate myself to carry through whatever is written there. So I obligated myself to pay $10,000 when I signed on that, even though I'm claiming that you said it was $5,000, but I have no proof to back up my claim to say that you lied to me. We'll see what happens if you do have proof soon. But I have no proof to back up my claim. So therefore, I have to go through. I have an obligation to carry through what's written here, even though I say that I got tricked. I don't have no proof I got tricked. But Yeshua Yisrael says, no, you're not obligated. You didn't obligate yourself. You trusted. When you signed on to this guy, that meant that you're trusting the sofer, whatever he decides to write, so you're agreeing to carry out. But now I'm saying that my trust was misplaced. I trusted you that you were going to write $5,000 and you wrote $10,000. I trusted you that it was going to be a normal contract and you threw in conditions that no one would have ever thought of. I trusted you and I see my trust was misplaced. It's a nemonis betos. The trust was misplaced. So the Yeshua Yisrael says, I can't for sure win the case like that, but at least I can force you to come to an entera and make a shvua, to make an oath to say that you didn't lie. And that much I can do because I'm claiming that I had a misplaced trust. According to the Shach and the Sma, I can't even force you to take any oath because you obligated yourself to whatever's written here. And you claim that he tricked you, but you obligated yourself to what's written here. It's written here that you have to pay $10,000. You have to pay $10,000. And you can't say that you got tricked. You obligated yourself. If you have proof, we'll see in a second, but then it'll be different. So anyway, this is the third halacha. This is the third halacha, that when you sign it, you obligate yourself. But if you want to claim that they tricked you, so it's going to depend on how we understand this obligation. If the obligation is a hischayvus, a real obligation, when you commit yourself to whatever is written here, so even you can't claim that you got tricked because you obligated whatever is written, and this is written. If the commitment is based on trust, then I could say I had a misplaced trust here and I want to litigate on that. I'll lose eventually if he makes a shvua and he denies it, but at least I want you to force you to make a shvua.
If the sofer refuses to make the shvua, does the lova have grounds for bringing him to Beis Din?
Yes, so that's something he'll have. He'll have something to... we'll talk about that in future weeks. What happens if you want to force someone to give evidence and they don't? Does that help your case any?
He can say it was fraud.
Yeah, he doesn't say it. If he doesn't make a shvua, so then he won't have to pay. It's a good shot. Because the Maisa is halacha, the Maisa will go. I think we will go with the Rashba and the Shach, and it's not they understand it that way, that you really obligated whatever you signed. You claim now that they lied to you. I'm sorry, you signed that you're going to do whatever they say. But suppose the final case, suppose we have witnesses that the Malva lied. Right. Which one might be a more difficult case, where the two witnesses see what's going on? Well, the lender says, I'm lending you $5,000 here, and the borrower says, fine, let's write a document. The borrower says, I can't read it, I don't understand it, so just sign. It's written, and it says that it's $5,000, and then when it comes time to collect, he comes and says, you owe me $10,000. And the borrower goes and brings these two witnesses and says, look, we were there, and we heard the Malva say that this was going to be a $5,000 loan, and we heard what was going on. He didn't understand. They must have tricked him. So then then everyone agrees. Even it was the Shuas Yisrael. He certainly says it, but the Shach and Sma agrees, would agree in such a case. The Chashulchan says it, the Rav Shai says it. Everyone says that if you got tricked, so then you're not obligated. Why is that? Because the only time you're obligated, the din of a shalish. A shalish is better than witnesses, better than an admission. That's only when you don't know what's going on. This middleman, when we don't know what's going on, so we trust him. He has a better amount of his evidence is stronger than anything else when we don't know what's going on. But we only have two witnesses prior to the whole Shaila. We know we have two witnesses that saw that the loan was $5,000. So even if you go and sign something that says $10,000 on it, you have the right to say, because once again, it's not a gzeiras kasuv that whatever you sign, you're obligated. You didn't know what you were signing. The only chiyuv comes from the fact that you didn't have shalish, that if you put your trust in someone, so then you rely on them, so then you commit yourself to whatever he says. But if everyone sees that he lied to you, so then there's nothing to talk about. The whole issue of do I obligate myself, do I entrust him, that's only when we don't know what's going on. But when he said it's $5,000 and you signed $10,000 without realizing it, that everyone agrees will not carry any weight. Now, this issue that came up before, who are we putting our trust in? The Divrei Gaon have at the bottom, he does bring down a shita that says this whole halacha should apply only to where a self-word is a true middle party involved here, like the case of a shalosh, which is parallel to a shalosh, that there is a middle sofer, and everyone's trusting him, and you sign something without reading it because you couldn't understand it, and we say you put your trust in it. But he says that the malva, if the lender himself said, here's $100,000, I want you to sign this. In Chinese, it's in Hebrew, I can't read it, and I sign it. So there he makes a swear to say that I'm not obligating myself in whatever he says. There I really don't understand the swear so well, but I'm just telling you that he says this. He says that I'm not really, I'll read the lesson. It's only for sofer of the shtar. The sofer has the qualities of a shalish. If the malva brings in an already written document, and he didn't read it, he just trusted the malva that, he's giving $10,000, I'll sign this. Then he did not have any mind that he's going to obligate himself and anything that's written there. The malva is a litigant here, and litigants lie, and I didn't put my faith in him. That's just why I don't really understand myself, because I did sign it. But there is such a sheet, and I looked around, I didn't see anyone bring this Divrei Gaon, and I saw it, but that's how I signed it. But I didn't see anyone comment on it. The Marsham, I think, just says, look at the Divrei Gaon. So I looked at it, and that's what he says. So anyway, that's something to think about, whether that should make a difference. And then finally I have here this Mishpatech El Yaakov, a contemporary post, like, he wants to say that this doesn't apply to a lawyer. He wants to say this, and he also didn't, I don't understand it so well, but I'll say over what he's saying. He says this applies to, like we're saying, there's a court-appointed sofer over here, it's a disinterested party who is writing down what everyone says, so I entrust myself, and then whatever he writes, I'll agree to. But if I hire a lawyer because I don't understand how to write a document, and I need so much fine print, so many details, and if I buy a house, I can't write a document, I hereby agree to give you $100,000, please give me your house. But you don't want to do that. You want to make it that it's really legal. So you hire a lawyer to do that. And the lawyer makes a mistake. The lawyer, instead of writing down that the house is $200,000, he says I have to pay $300,000 for it. So if it was a sofer, so then we'd be saying that if I don't have any proof, I'd have to pay. Because if I don't have any proof that there was a disagreement, the shachas ma'as says I'm a chayav myself to any terms that I sign on something that I don't understand, that someone wrote for me. But he says over here, since you hired a lawyer, as he says, what's the reason that you, this is the way he's understanding it, what's the reason that you obligate, that we know you will obligate yourself to whatever's written there? Because why didn't you read it? Why didn't you read it? You should have read it, or why didn't you get someone to read it to you? It must be because you're willing to rely on whatever the sofer writes. So he says, that's good. If it's something that you're able to read and you choose not to, so then we say that you're relying on whatever's written here. But here where you have to hire a lawyer because even if you could read it, you wouldn't know what it says. And that's why you have a lawyer writing it for you. So the fact that you didn't read it doesn't prove that you are just obligating yourself for anything that's written there. And he says, in that case, he could say, look, my lawyer made a mistake, and I'm not obligated, or at least force the other litigant to make a shvuah, that the deal is really $200,000 and not $300,000. So there also, I didn't hear that so well either. Like, here also, I don't know what his raya is, that it's, I have to have a shvuah. What's the reason that I show that I'm mechayev? If I sign something, if I put my trust in you, that's what Dina Shalosh tells us, that I have an obligation to carry through. I don't hear that Felix so either, but I just wanted to let you know that it's there. So to just review what we do know, what seems to be clear are these four halachas that we learned. That if someone comes to you with a Chinese star that you say, look, I never read it, I signed it, but I never read it, I don't have to agree to that. So that's not a tiny at all. We assume if you signed to it, you read it, or you had someone reading Chinese to you, either you don't understand Chinese, or they read it to you, as I say, you could understand it, and you're 100% obligated in everything that's written there. And we said, not only that, even if there are witnesses that say that you didn't read it, right, the first case we said we don't believe you didn't read it. Even if the witnesses that say you didn't read it, so there the halacha is, you're still 100% obligated to everything you signed on, because that's the rule of Shalish. If you put your trust in someone, you put your trust in the sofer over here, whoever wrote the shtar, when you signed it, so you have that obligation to carry out what you signed on. However, the third point was, we said there's a shaila exactly what that obligation is. Is it a hischayvus, a full-fledged obligation to commit yourself to whatever's written there no matter what? Or is it just that a trust? And the nafkamina would be if you want to claim that he lied to you. So we said that the Shach, the Smar, the Shulchan Aruch, the Rashba are pretty clear that it's a hischayvus, that it's an obligation. You can't even make a claim and say, look, everyone knows I couldn't read it, but I'm claiming that you lied to me, and I had my trust misplaced. It doesn't make a difference. Once you sign, you're obligated to carry out what's written there. The only way out you have is if you bring witnesses. If you have witnesses, or the Malva agrees, he says, he fell for that trick. The Malva agrees that I know I told you $200,000, but I wrote $300,000 here, and you signed it, and you have to carry you with your word. Let's say they're not arguing about the facts. Everyone agrees. What happened? The Malva said $200,000, and then he gave him a thing written in Chinese that said $300,000. But I got you to sign it. You have to do what you said. So in that case, the Malva definitely has a way to say, look, I'm sorry, I only owe you this $200,000 like we agreed, even though I wrote it. It's a sheker, but there's no din of shalish when there's witnesses that. Prior witnesses that clearly say that we don't need your nemanis, we don't need you, because everyone knows that the loan was for $200,000, even though I signed it for $300,000.